When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Hold up, Key.
Yo!
What did I... First of all, who just asked you to punch Jay in the head?
Is that Dave? Now we're hitting people in the head?
Yeah, one of them wanted me to...
I think it was Dave.
...invoke violence up on another brother, and I really
over
wasn't
what?
Having it. About the Draymond Green situation, that Jay thinks that Draymond did something wrong and he deserved to be ejected from the game. And
he's right.
I don't believe other people feel that way.
Well, the best part about the whole conversation was that he said, when Dave said, you got to hit him up against the head, he said, have you seen this man's head, though? I may hurt my hand.
Yeah, Key is right, though. That's a sucker move to
you
hit
all
a dude
got
in the head.
Jay, you're all skull.
Yeah, you don't want to hit a guy in the skull. You hurt. You break
you're
your head.
All Scully.
You're better off open-handing the top of the head.
No, you're not going to Will Smith me now.
Well, I'm saying the top
I'm
of the head.
Will Smith.
That's how you break your hand on someone's head.
Even if I smacked it, I like my fingers. Jay has a very hard head.
It looks it, right?
It takes one to know one, Keyshawn.
No, seriously. Have you, when you go, Max probably. You eat watermelon, Max?
What's that?
Do you eat watermelon? Oh,
what are you kidding? Of course. By the way, and it's awesome. It's the best thing
there
is. Do
you buy it in the store?
This is a great question. I buy it in the store, by the way, without a second thought. I just get to walk right into a store, buy
so you just
all the
walk,
watermelon
you walk,
I want.
You walk into a store,
yep.
And you just pick up a watermelon.
I could pick it up. I could kiss the watermelon. I'm
going somewhere with this. I'm not setting you up. This
no,
is not a 1920 type situation.
So
when you go into a store to pick up a watermelon, what you have to do is you have to pick it up, take a look at it, you have to rotate it, and you take your right or your left hand and a fist
knuckles,
you tap on it.
Knock it.
You got to knock it to see if it's firm, where's the hollow spaces at.
Right.
So in other words, where I'm going with this is Jay's head is like a round watermelon. And then you got to knock on it a few times to find out where the hollow spaces are.
Self-racism.
Are you saying the hollow spaces are
everywhere? Using a watermelon to compare
a
black person's head? What are we doing, Key?
Oh, God, stop.
What are we doing to each other as a people?
Oh, brother, they ain't got to worry about me with that. You know that. Power to the people.
Knock on Jay's head.
Now Max is awkwardly staring at my head.
That was a violent, violent crosstalk. That's all I have to say.
No, it was. It was Jay's. Jay's a good human being. And speaking of a head, I had a friend who has a bald head. He was doing something over the weekend and messed around and hit the top of his head with a nail.
What?
Ow! Yeah,
with a nail.
Because he was being cheap.
What?
And instead of purchasing what he needed, the mantle over his fireplace, he decided he was going to build one.
Uh-oh, one of those?
And Max, I wasn't even going there. And he decided he was going to build it. And I guess he messed around, and as he was leaning underneath, he raised up, and it hit. A nail went right into it. He's got a big, giant gash.
Just because you have a bald head don't mean you have a hard head. What is that conflation of those two ideas?
You got to get a tetanus shot after that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he got all the different stuff, and he probably found somewhere that he would get it for free, knowing him. He probably didn't even use his insurance.
By the way, here's Key. Jay,
I have a friend next door.
Here's Key. Jay, what series should I go to? This one or that one? By the way, this one I got a hookup. I'm going to be able to arrange it, so I'm good. So which one should I go to? Not spend any money. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. Guys, let's recap Key's real rankings. Key, these are your top six winners of the NFL draft.
Give them to me, Key.
Well, I was waiting for production, but yeah. I guess there's
any
no
sound?
Production.
Nope.
Anyway, so we're going to go six down. We're going to start with the Cardinals. And this factors into this, the trades, too, now. They get Hollywood Brown to replace Christian Kirk. He goes back into the air raid, pairs with his college quarterback in Kyler Murray. He understands the system. He didn't necessarily like Baltimore's system because it didn't allow him to maximize his potential. Number five, the Giants. I like what they did getting Kayvon Thibodeaux. They needed a tackle and Evan Neal, so they get that guy. They sit at five. The Eagles, again, a trade. They go out and get A.J. Brown. They also pick up a big defensive lineman. We know what they have in the quarterback along with Devontae Smith. They sit at five. Four. You look at the Packers and a lot
number
of people.
Y'all going to throw it in there now?
That's okay. The Packers did a great job by getting Walker, the inside linebacker, and then Devontae Wyatt, the big defensive tackle out of Georgia. Freakish athleticism. But overall, they did a great job. Christian Watson, the wide receiver out of North Dakota State. Then they pick up Romeo Dobbs, another receiver who could have been a second-round pick, fell to the fourth round, has a plenty of upside, like ridiculous. And so when you look at what they did, three wide receivers in this draft, two defensive tackles. Now they sit at number three. The Ravens, on the other hand, they flip things and turn it around where everybody was like, oh, my God, the Ravens need to get a receiver. They say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to take Kyle Hamilton. We're going to get Tyler Linderbaum, the best center, the best safety. We're going to get David Ajobu, the linebacker. Then they started picking up defensive tackles, offensive tackles, cornerbacks. They decided they're going to go back to 4 years ago when they ran wreck on the National Football League with Ingram, and the MVP eventually became Lamar Jackson. So you start to look at that. Then you got the number one team in my rankings. Thank you. The number one team in my rankings, the New York Jets, the big green machine, pick up Sauce Gardner at number one, fourth overall. They get Garrett Wilson, a receiver that they desperately needed. They pick him up at 10. Drake London was there. I think they take Drake London. Drake London went to Atlanta at 8. You got they get back into the first round at 26 and pick up Jermaine Johnson. That's Michael's brother. There's no way he played football. Jermaine Johnson, defensive end. They get back into the first round. They pick him up. And that's big in the first day that they get those guys. Then you look at Breece Hall, Iowa State. Then you say, okay, they pick up in the fourth round Max Mitchell, which is interesting because he's a tackle. I don't know what the way they feel about the other tackle, then Michael Clemens. So that's the top six of this year's draft in terms of the winners for me. And some people would argue,
you knocked Jay out of his chair, Key. No lie, Jay is sitting on the floor right now.
My ass is sitting on the floor talking into the microphone.
Well, come on. No, when you talking fast and you go Jermaine John, you can just think of Jermaine Jackson. Because I'm so used to saying, when you say a Jermaine, what's the first thing you think?
Yeah.
Jackson. Jermaine Jackson. That's why I said Jermaine Jackson. But I was able to pivot real quick and let you know.
That doesn't go for Tito, does it?
That could be Jermaine Jackson because he certainly did play in the National Football League.
It doesn't go for Tito, but it goes for Jermaine.
Jermaine did not play in the National Football League. Yes. My face is – I can't breathe.
I don't even think Jermaine knows how to throw a football.
I would love to see Jermaine throw a football, by the way.
You know what's so interesting, Jay? He lives in my neighborhood.
What?
I see him all the time.
That's why it came up naturally for you.
And I see him all the time. Does not look like he can throw a tennis ball against a wall.
You would make it in professional
football. I am sorry I'm laughing like a five-year-old. But, y'all, I told Max Key I went through a hard time with my mom this weekend in the hospital. That just broke me. That's what I was at Jermaine Johnson.
But there you go. The top six winners of this year's NFL draft by Keyshawn Johnson.
You know, getting back to football, the Jets are interesting. The way they – like, if you look at how they put it together, let's put aside whether or not they hit on it or not, right? They draft a left tackle in Becton. Then the next year they go ahead and draft a quarterback and a versatile lineman who plays next to the tackle but could play a little tackle, could play on either side of the line, Vera Tucker, right? Mm-hmm. Then the following year, they go out and get their pass rusher. They trade back up into the first round to get him. He's one of the elite pass rushers of the draft. They draft an elite shutdown corner type guy.
But you're missing some guys too.
No question. I'm just checking off the premier positions first, right?
No, but here's why you want to check it off. They get guys like Braxton Berrios.
Yep.
They get guys like Elijah Moore. They go sign a guy like Corey Davis in free agency. All of that is a part of building a team.
No question. They're building it. If you take away the evaluations of each position for a second and look at how they're going about it, it seems like they're getting it just right. And now it's up to the pieces to perform, right? And mainly the quarterback. Really, it comes down to Zach Wilson.
And Joe Douglas was, I guess he was charged for picking some of the better players in Philadelphia because he was the head of college scouting when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles prior to being tabbed as the New York Jets general manager. So he had done a good job in evaluating college talent. I guess the question would be, has he done a good enough job in evaluating the coaching staffs that he's been around? And did he do a good enough job in evaluating Zach Wilson at the quarterback position?
Right. The coaching staff is, if you are not higher on the Jets, it's because you don't trust
Zach Wilson.
The coaching staff around Zach Wilson and these young guys as much as you might on another team, another franchise that has a deep tradition of coaching guys up and integrating new pieces and stuff like that, right? I mean, that's really what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Like Brian Daboll to a degree in Buffalo and what they were able to do with Josh Allen?
Or like with the Ravens.
Or the Ravens, more of a history like that, yeah.
I think when you look at Robert Saleh, for me, as the head coach, I like him as a good defensive coordinator. He had some pieces in play in San Francisco, so it made him better than what he probably is. I think he is going to get the benefit of the doubt, as he should, as they continue to build the roster. But it's a lot of the little quirky decisions that they make as a staff. When you bring in John Beck in the middle of the season, who's never had any prior coaching experience at this level, to all of a sudden be a guy on the sideline to manage a quarterback in Zach Wilson, and you take the offensive coordinator from the sideline and kick him upstairs in the middle of the season – it becomes weird to me. Those are decisions that I don't want to see in my coaching staff. Like, I don't want to see you making coaching changes to a staff in the middle of the damn season. That to me makes me
suspicious of the franchise, right?
Yeah, but call, what do they say? Calls for pause or pause for calls?
Calls for pause, yeah.
Yeah, that I'm sitting there, I'm like, man. And then you're trying to tell me, well, John Beck is really comfortable with – I mean, Zach Wilson is really comfortable with his quarterback coach. Well, is his quarterback coach really John Beck, or was it Quincy Avery? Like, it's like, which one is it?
Let me ask you this, though. What about the attempted trade for Debo? Now, they get Garrett Wilson in the draft. They have to be very happy about that. He's among the top receivers. But what does the attempted trade for Debo tell you, Key?
Well, it tells me if I could steal him, go get him. If I can steal him, go get him. But
operative
I'm not
work,
giving
he,
up the 10th yeah. 10th pick of the draft for Debo Samuel when I got to commit 75% of my offense to one guy, Maxie.
Yeah, Key, the operative word, steal, right? Like, if you don't have to give up the whole boat,
right,
then you get him.
Rich Cimini, ESPN Jets reporter on game night. Listen to this.
They were interested in Debo Samuel right up until the draft. Right up until draft day, I can tell you that. They did make an offer for Debo, obviously not accepted. And then when it wasn't accepted, they just went out. And Drake London was already picked by Atlanta. I think Jets probably would have taken Garrett Wilson anyway. So it brings a lot of speed to the offense. He's 4.38 in the 40. And they really needed a speed element on offense.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, like Rich said, speed kills and it burns. They already kind of got Elijah Moore, could do some of the same sort of things. Braxton Berrios, they kind of can do that, you know, jack of all trades, master of none sort of stuff. Corey Davis is there. You need a guy who can lift the coverage, a nice polished route runner who's got some aggressiveness to him in Garrett Wilson. And you don't have to pay Garrett Wilson $80 million of guaranteed dollars today. You can get that same sort of stuff out of all those receivers collectively. They made the smart choice. If I can steal him, because you're fed up with him and you want to get rid of him, and then we can swing it.
Yeah, I mean, stealing him is one thing, but also, Key, I think bringing Debo in, just it puts on the added pressure, in my opinion, to Zach Wilson to feed Debo and to be that quarterback right now. And I feel like with younger pieces around, it just allows him to organically kind of continue to develop and grow into that.
You know, I see it a little bit differently. I can see where you guys point out correctly, like, you don't want that to monopolize the team. You let him grow organically, right? But there is a CJ McCollum element here, in the sense that you bring a guy like that in, to me, when you actually, not just establishing the culture in some kind of like way that you can't really, you know, intangible way, but like you're trying to get some wins now, right? You bring in a guy like that, to me, because you think that's going to show up in wins pretty immediately.
I can't pay $80 million for that, though.
I'm with you. I like what they did better now.
No, if I was a team that missed a piece and I just needed something.
If you think
something,
you're there. Yeah.
Then I'd do it. Like for instance, and this is not about me, but it's about me. If I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm going to trade 2 ones for Keyshawn, because not only is he bringing what we need on the field, but he's also going to bring that swag to my offense that was stale, and it needed that because we were right there. That's when you go get a Debo.
Yeah, a piece that puts you over the top.
Yeah, a piece that puts you over the top.
Yeah,
that's what you need.
But that's why, looking at the Jets, I wonder if it's, instead of that, they're just thinking, we just need some wins.
Because
we got to put some wins up on the board.
Well, see, that's you thinking as a Giant fan about the Jets. They just need some wins because they can't get any. I think when you look at it, you get Debo Samuel, you give him 4 years, $80 million. In 4 years, you're going to have to part ways with him, or you got to give him another $80 million to stick around when the team finally is right.
Is ready to win, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meantime, the Giants, Key, you have them among your best teams. You know, it's funny because when I see a team draft twice in the top 10 and people are like, oh, that's a great draft, I'm like, yeah, they didn't mess it up. You're supposed to have a great draft when you draft twice in the top 10. Let me see what they do with the rest of the draft. And they kept trading down and adding picks, and those fourth, fifth round type picks are not very expensive. I get they have cap issues. They have a lot of holes to fill. I was kind of jealous, I got to admit, as a fan, when I saw Ajabo goes where, and you know, N'Kobe Dean and these. But that's not the kind of drafts the Giants had. Nevertheless, Key, they seem to have a good draft, and the main thing is they did come away with an elite pass rusher, an elite guy, at least the way the scouts see it, on both sides of the ball on the line.
So when you look at the defensive side of the ball, and you're a Giant fan, when they won Super Bowls, what did they have?
Pass rush.
Okay. That's what they had. So when you all of a sudden Leonard Williams and you match them up with Kayvon Thibodeau, who if he puts everything right together and he doesn't become a lazy you-know-what, he has an opportunity to go down and be a part of Giant pass rush history. Now, you screw it up when you go and you take a guy like Sean Ryan from UCLA at the top of the draft instead of Evan Neal. That's how you screw it up. That's how you get back. Oh, well, we liked him even though everybody else didn't like him. We felt he was one of the top four. And you're like, eh. There's a reason everybody got him in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, and not number one overall. There's a reason for those sort of things. And when coaches and general managers make those mistakes, that's when they screw the draft up.
But Daniel Jones, six overall, in other words?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you get a Kayvon Thibodeau and an Evan Neal, you won as far as the organization is concerned. Even if you don't hit on the other guys, you hit on those two, you win.
Day two is where I felt like, because at first, Max, we were talking about the Giants got an A because obviously Thibodeau and Neal, right? But day two is where I felt like Joe Shane, it was interesting. I thought he got a little cute, right? Because I thought, Key, there was a need for a corner, right? Like a cornerback, and them trading down twice in the second round to gain one extra pick in the fourth and the fifth rounds. When I saw guys like Roger McCreary, Kyler Gordon, Andrew Booth, like a safety out there that we could have got to help up, shore up that secondary. Like those are the things that I was kind of like almost mad about, that we didn't address that concern. I know we still have a long way to go. Kind of like there wasn't the need or sense of urgency to address that in the corner.
Well, they did address it to a degree. They took the kid out of LSU, and I think you say Flaunt is his last name, Cordell Flaunt, a trade. You know, they got it from Miami, whatever the trade went down at number 81. So they took that, and they got him. So they addressed the cornerback needs. They also took Dane Belton out of Iowa, safety, so they addressed that need as well. But you can't get so bogged up in some of the top-end guys, because the top-end guys can sometimes be fool's gold. The National Football League, unlike the NBA, is made up of, if it was the G League in football, that third, fourth, fifth-round picks is what the National Football League is made up at, unlike in the NBA. The NBA is not made up of G League. They're made up of stars. Mm.
I follow an account on Twitter called Giants Daily because I'm a degenerate Giants fan. And it's a good account to follow, Giants Daily. And they retweeted Jason OTC, you know, a draft cap guy, who said he took a look at how much estimated value each team added to their roster during the draft. And the Giants were number one. They added, in terms of how much, like $60 million of value, right? If it was, I guess, on the open market. They added a ton of value to the team because of the positions that they drafted. And certainly they hit with their top two, but it was not as sexy a draft as the Jets had. The Jets traded up twice. First, they got both sides of the – like, Key, they already had the offensive line, at least a couple pieces on the line, the Jets. So they went out and got the best available corner, the best available wideout in the draft, and then traded up to get the best pass rusher who had a grade, and a lot of people top 10. Mel Kiper's latest mock, his last mock, he had Jermaine Johnson the second going to the Giants, I want to say seventh overall, right? I think with their seventh pick. And then they did it again to get Breece Hall, like the best running back in the draft. So it's a sexier draft on the surface. Like, I think Jets fans were a little more psyched afterwards than Giants fans, but of course we got to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, they should, but they should be more psyched than Giants fans because the Jets had more picks, one, that made sense for what they needed in terms of the top-end guys. You know, they got the first four guys are all Pro Bowl caliber potential players for the Jets. The first four guys, where really the first two guys for the Giants are Pro Bowl calibers in Thibodeau and Evan Neal. When you get to Waddell Robinson at Kentucky, I don't know what that means. I guess they did that more of an insurance pick because of the what's the kid that
– They're
that,
shopping that, Kadarius Toney.
Kadarius
and then
Toney.
Denying it, yeah. Or yeah. Or reportedly they were shopping.
Yeah, and then you still got Shepard on some injuries, so I can see why they did that. Insurance.
Why one team's draft sent a message to the rest of the league that they're not interested in a former number one overall pick. That's next on ESPN Radio Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, is back with us giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Have an eventful hour since last we saw
you. Yeah, it's been good. Yeah. Listened to some basketball talk on Get Up. There talked about the Packers a little bit.
Can't beat that. Mm. Panthers draft Matt Corral amid the Baker Mayfield speculation, Dan. 2 hours ago, you said this was hot news, so let's get into it. Dan, what's that mean?
Oh, Well, it means I think they're probably out of the Baker Mayfield thing. I mean, look, you never say never, especially with the way Carolina's been acting about quarterback over the last couple of years. But what happened was they were engaged with Cleveland in trade talks during the draft, and they couldn't reach an agreement. Teams that are talking to Cleveland, including Carolina, want the Browns to pay a good chunk of that $18.858 million of Baker Mayfield's salary. Browns haven't gotten there yet. So the Panthers move on, and they take Matt Corral. You have to think between Matt Corral and Sam Darnold, they're not going to bring Baker Mayfield into the quarterback room. Again, maybe, but it seems like they're a lot less likely, and then that's one less suitor for the Browns.
You know what, Dan? I've been sitting around thinking over the last, you know, several days, clearly before the draft, after the draft, and I've been thinking about the Baker Mayfield situation. And what came to my mind is if they're not going to move him, nobody's going to, like you said, absorb that salary. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the Browns, right, I should just sit tight and tell Baker Mayfield, you stay home, work out. We got to eat your salary right now anyway. We got to pay you because it's guaranteed. And wait around till somebody gets hurt or really desperate come training camp time, preseason time. Then you can move him to maximize that value again. Think about Sam Bradford, what happened in Philly. Teddy Bridgewater goes down in Minnesota. They say, we need a quarterback. Here's a one. You think that could happen?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what the Browns are hoping for, not for someone to get injured, but what they're waiting for is for someone's situation to change, right? Let's say there is an injury. Let's say somebody gets to camp and doesn't like their quarterback situation as much as they thought they did. Then you have the ability to move on from Baker at that point. And as long as Baker's not in there making any trouble in the meantime, that strategy should work out fine for them, which is why if I were Baker and I wanted out, I'd be there. Like, I'd show up at the facility. Like, hey, I'd have somebody, like, make me a smoothie and then, like, take one sip,
Dan,
and throw it in the garbage.
They don't want him in the building, though, Dan.
Yeah, well, I know they don't, but they have no right to keep him out unless they're going to suspend him, which I don't know what grounds they would have for that. So if I'm Baker and I want out, I think my move is to make it uncomfortable for them. And to this point, he hasn't done it. If he does, if he shows up for mini camp or whatever and becomes a real pain in the you-know-what, then maybe they have.
Yeah, but you don't want that reputation now to supersede itself, right? You would what I would do if I'm Baker Mayfield and his representatives is I would simply say, okay, I'm gonna stay away, I'm gonna work out until we resolve this thing. Because going in the locker room, the players don't want him in there, so now it becomes uncomfortable.
What about this?
Now you get a reputation of trying to sabotage something.
Key, what about this, Dan? What about this? What if they brought Baker in, and because, like, we don't know what Deshaun Watson's suspension is going to be.
Correct.
Let's say Deshaun Watson's suspended for 8 weeks. You bring Baker in, and you keep him, and you let him know ahead of time, look, we're bringing you in for this many weeks, and then we're going to trade you, cut you, whatever the case may be. and you have him in there to try to keep you afloat. Do I think that is a good idea? No. But is that something possible, Dan?
Certainly possible, but they did sign, Jacoby Brissett as the backup for Deshaun Watson for that eventuality. So they already have a plan for that in case Deshaun Watson is suspended for a chunk of time at the start of the season. So, yeah, possible, but there's a lot of bad blood there right now, and I just don't think that they want to do that.
Or, Dan, should Baker Mayfield, and I know this is Max, his head is going to explode like the Dave Chappelle show. Should Baker Mayfield decide to take a discount to get out of there with another team? Should he say, instead of 18, I tell you what, pay me 11 and give me 7 in incentives and I'm going to come in and I'm going to compete my tail off?
Would you?
I would 100% do it if I really want to get away from the
Browns
that bad.
All right.
I would. If I had a chance to go to Seattle and be the starting quarterback, I would take a haircut, put it in incentives, and go win the job.
Well, I don't have any indication that that's been discussed, but certainly as they look at potential solutions, I wouldn't rule it out. But, yeah, I mean, I think, again, I don't think there's a really good relationship right now between Baker and the Cleveland Browns to the point where they're working together to find effective solutions.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I agree, actually. What you're really doing, whatever number that would be that Baker would turn into incentives – would show that he means business, but more than that, that's a bet he's placing on himself for the rest of his career. Because if he winds up in the right situation, even from a monetary point of view, compensation, he's going to wind up doing very well, right, compared to if he just tries to be penny wise and pound foolish, pay me out on all of this, and doesn't wind up in the right situation.
See, I think Baker's ideal situation right now would be to be cut, right, because then you get the guaranteed money, fully guaranteed, $18.858 million. And then you get on top of that whatever you sign with your new team for. So I think that – and you get to maybe drum up a market and do it yourself. So that's, I think, his ideal situation. So I don't think he's at a point where he's interested in saying, hey, let's redo the contract to help you guys out and trade me. He says cut me.
Yeah, and cut me, yes, that is true. But they don't want to just cut him.
No.
Because they got to eat it anyway, so it makes no sense.
Right.
For him, if you get cut – you're only going to – it's only still only one team that would sign you to compete for a starting job, and that's Seattle. Carolina drafted a guy in Matt Corral. They still got Sam Darnold on the hook. Now, they can pay you the veteran minimum or whatever the case may be, and you may go in there and compete. But nobody wants him in a locker room in Carolina. When one player like Robbie Anderson speaks out, that means that there's other people speaking out of the locker room. They just not on record like Robbie Anderson. So – I would, if I'm him, though, I would seriously think about taking a pay cut to some degree, getting it in some incentives, and telling Pete Carroll, I'm about to come in here and be your next Russell Wilson.
Dan Graziano, it is my understanding that you are starring on a sensational show on ESPN later today at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, yeah, it's a good show.
Called This Just In.
Outstanding.
Oh, God.
I look forward to tuning in and seeing you there.
People
next to that
to
very
that
handsome
out.
Host. I mean, he ain't on there for his hosting skills. He's on there for the eye candy. We know that already. Rep or reality for Draymond Green. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Key, so we got to tell this story, man. We're on the production call yesterday. We do a production call every day the day before to start prepping for the show the next day. And Key, I hear you all of a sudden start hollering about your dog. Now, I lived in the hills in L.A. I know what that is. There are coyotes out in L.A. And I started hearing you holler about your dogs and something about coyotes. What happened?
Yeah, I was outside, so I was coming in and out watching the Golden State game and trying to watch the game and talk to y'all at the same time. And I happened to go out my back door, and on the side of the house, I'm talking on my phone, but I see this lady walk up, and she had a dog in her hands. And I looked, and I'm like, that's my dog. So I asked her, I said, is that? And she's like, yeah, it's your dog. This is your dog, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how did he get out? And the little, you know what, done got out the backyard and is roaming the neighborhood, and everybody literally in the neighborhood knows those are our dogs because they just know. And she was telling me that, you know, anything could have happened that took place, the coyotes, the whole deal. And I'm like, if the coyotes would have ate his ass up, good for him. Because he should know better than to keep going out in the damn streets, leaving the backyard for no reason at all.
You hear it in L.A. You hear dogs getting attacked by coyotes. By the way, Tim Legler, Key, is coming up with us, and he overheard this conversation.
Legs. He was just telling me a story about this literally before he walked in.
In the hallway, I asked Jay to look at a video from my backyard last night because my wife was down there. We have three mixed breed small dogs, all under 20 pounds. She's out in the yard with them. I'm watching it on the camera because she hit me up. Said something just ran by the fence in the backyard. I don't know what it was. So I'm looking at the tape. I couldn't find it. Finally, I did. I don't know what it was. We do have a lot of deer back there. If it was a deer, it was a baby deer.
Broad daylight?
No. Pitch black.
Here's
what creeped me out. Here's what creeped me out was she then, I had four clips of it. Finally, I found it. The eyes were off to the side. The first time she went out there, it was just standing there in the shadows, and then it finally runs by. I asked Jay to take a look at it. I'm examining this thing like the Zapruder film at this point, trying to figure out what is running behind my fence. Because like I said, I've seen deer. It could possibly be a baby deer.
You cannot let the dogs out. Key, when I was in L.A.
I didn't let my dog out. These dogs decide they got a mind of their own. Yeah. Whenever they feel like the backyard is not comfortable enough, it's comfortable enough for adults. Goodness. But they all of a sudden want to roam the streets. He has on the right side of our house. He and I went back there and look. How the hell is he getting out? He dug underneath the fence.
He's trying
with his little ass to get outside. Now, like I told my wife, if he gets eaten, good for him.
Well, it wouldn't be good for him actually, but we'll be back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I think tonight was probably a reputation thing more so than a hard foul.
Draymond Green, crying victim. Oh my goodness. Is it reputation? You're damn right it's reputation. Draymond Green got to be better than that, and he knows that because he put himself in that situation to begin with.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Okay, Tim Legler with us.
But it was you, because we saw you do it, Draymond.
One me.
It was you. I saw you see you do it.
One me. Reputation. The ref saw me hit him in the face and then pull him to the ground. All right.
It wasn't me.
One me. Tim Legler with us now, like giving that. The Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Legs. So the Draymond play yesterday, before we even get into anything, let's hear Kane Fitzgerald, the crew chief for the Warriors-Grizzlies game, explain why Draymond was hit with the tech and ejected. He explained it to the crowd.
After review, the foul's been upgraded to a flagrant foul penalty two.
Wow.
Draymond Green has been ejected. From the windup to the face, impact to the face, the follow through to the jersey, and the throw down to the ground.
So, Key, you will appreciate this. Legs and I were just on Get Up, and Legs just on national TV said, man, you put some powder on your face, you're getting soft. So, with that being said, I think you know which
Will.
Way. Yeah, hey, I'm standing by it, but I think you know where Legs is leaning towards. Legs, the floor is yours.
Well, I didn't like it live, I didn't like the call. I didn't like it when I saw the replay several times. I just didn't. The biggest problem I have is when they're defining windup. I just don't understand, where's the windup? He slides over. His hand is already up. And then he just rakes down. Like every defender does in the paint with anybody driving to the basket. And he ended up catching him in the face. It wasn't a particularly hard blow. It was incidental and unintentional, the fact that he grabbed his face. The jersey grab, far more significant of the two, but I think even that to me is a flagrant one, because he tried to catch him before he hit the ground. He tried to hold him up on that. That's a stupid play on the part of Draymond Green. He shouldn't have held on to the jersey, or we're not having this conversation. I have a problem with what they're defining the first part of that, when he hits him in the face, the wind up and contact to the head. I just don't see that as being intentional.
Let me tell you how I saw it, because I think sometimes people give an explanation after the fact for a call or for their behavior, and they're not even 100% sure why they did it. But let me tell you what I think the officials saw. It's the combination of the two, because it's the intent. First you see the come down on the face, then you see the jersey pull. So it was like, that erases any idea that it was just a basketball play. Even if you think the first part of it was, the second part taken together, they're like, nope, you hit him. And then after that, you tried to yank him down when he's in the air. We see what you're up to. You're out of here.
Can I say something real quick? Not one of those officials knew that he hit him in the face when it happened.
Agreed.
They went over there to take a look because of the jersey grab, to see what that was going to amount to. And the fact that Brandon Clark was laying on the ground, he was selling that pretty good. That's why they looked at it. And then after my point being, it wasn't so egregious and the contact to his face that they were like, oh, he hit him
but
in the
that's
head
why
sure.
he caught him. The reason he caught him was because he knew he messed up when he jerked down on the jersey. He's like, oh, let me try to mitigate this a little. It was too late, man. It was the 1-2, even if they go back to look at the slap because
I'm
of the jersey.
I'm just really surprised what I'm hearing. Right? I walked into a pastry shop today.
Are you exactly, me? Man. I tried
Key,
to
are
tell
you going to help me out, Keith?
No, Tim, I tried to tell these two heckling jackals, but Jay Will, Mr. Basketball, Key, you're crazy. Draymond Green did that on purpose. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, man, he didn't. Everything you described, I tried to tell them. Every single step of the way, he raked down. What raked down? He didn't rake down. I'm like, dude, what are you looking at? I'm watching him rake down. I'm watching him swipe through. He grabs the jersey because his momentum's taking him that way. Once he realizes he's pulling him down, he tries to hold him up because he's stronger than him. And I think reputation got him.
Hey, by the way, Key, Jay, you might be suspended for the rest of the show because you raked down on me with that basketball over there and get up.
All arm.
I felt a little something on my thumb, and it was quite painful.
Reputation call on Jay.
And then he grabbed my sport coat as I tried to walk to the away. Ground. He grabbed my jacket.
But like, here's the only thing I would say about it.
All right.
Because naturally, I think when I saw the first breakdown, I'm like, whatever. Like, that's just a hard foul. It was the pull down afterwards. Yeah. Because for me, when I see the pull down, and this is in real time, I'm watching the game. And I'm like, man, like, Dre, you are the modern day Dennis Rodman. Like, people just follow you for doing little things. And then to almost confirm it, even though it was like the antics afterwards. You're like, see, Dre, like, this is why people look at you that way. Because you are that type of player. It almost confirms the pull down after the rake to begin with, because that is his reputation. And he confirms it for you.
Yeah, no, I agree with that part of it. And when you are walking a fine line like Draymond Green, and you've had episodes before, actually in the finals when you were suspended and missed time, right? You probably have to just be extra careful with the second part of that. I have a problem with the way they interpreted the initial contact. It's just a guy raking down on a ball. He missed, or I'm sorry, he was actually trying to hit his arm and foul him. No question, he was trying to foul him to prevent the layup, but he was trying to hit his arm. And he grazed his face. That was not a hard shot to the face. That's my problem. When you start talking about wind up and contact to the head, and the way that was described to me, if I then went and watched that, I'm like, what are you talking about? Wind up, contact to the head. He raked down on his arm and caught a little bit of his face. The jersey
smacked
grab.
Him right in the face.
He did, but even Brandon Clark wasn't even fazed by it. Here's a point I keep making.
But once that happens, legs, don't yank him down.
To me, it's a smell test of this. There's not one player on Memphis' team and not one member of that coaching staff that would not have been perfectly fine with a flagrant one.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. None of those, they would not have been upset. You wouldn't have seen Taylor Jenkins up there saying a word to them if they gave him a flagrant one, because they watch games every night. They know what two looks
that
like.
That being said, they missed a huge opportunity, man. You have to win that game.
You got to win it.
And I said, now they're in a must-win scenario, game two. You cannot go back to Golden State losing two home games against this team.
You know, Draymond first half kicked out. Klay has a really rough night shooting the basketball, and you still don't win the game. That I think that's very foreboding for the Memphis Grizzlies. Jordan Poole, what more can we say about how well this guy's playing right now?
On the offensive end.
But doesn't matter. Yeah. That's what they need.
Legs, thank you for explaining that to me. Tim Legler, all basketball analysts on everything, high school, little league, NBA, college,
Coyotes.
Joining us this morning. Coyotes. Joining us this morning are Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. So the Sixers. Game 1 and 2 coming up, Embiid not in this. What do the Sixers have to do to survive without the big man in the lineup?
They got to get a roll-back-the-clock vintage performance out of James Harden just to have a chance. He's got to control the game and dominate the game the way that he did in Houston for all those years, where he's basically controlling it possession by possession with his ISO game and his high ball screen and getting to the line, hitting step-back threes, getting into the lane and making guys come so he can make guys better with lobs and kick-out threes. The problem is James Harden's not really capable of doing that anymore at that level. Look, if you take even 10% away from James Harden's explosive ability – you now put another 25 guys in the league that can guard him, as opposed to two or three when he was in Houston at his peak. And that's what I'm saying. To expect him to go out there tonight and give you a 30-point, 10-assist game efficiently, Jay, where he's controlling the action. I think you and I agree on this. I just – where's that going to come from when we haven't seen it really since he got to Philadelphia?
So here's why I see it going. I mean, granted, if Joel Embiid can come back game three, game four, but I do believe, Legs, when this is all said and done with the way Miami plays defense, we'll be talking about what James Harden can't do anymore as opposed to what he can't do. And if that is the conversation, if you're Daryl Morey, and if Doc Rivers isn't the guy, are you really bringing D'Antoni over? And are you still really paying James Harden the bag?
Here's what I'm going to say. Tomorrow morning, if we're talking about Tyrese Maxey, that's far better for the Sixers than if we're talking about James Harden. Tyrese Maxey, and he's got the ability to do it, but he's a very young player. If Tyrese Maxey goes off, and he's capable, Philadelphia has a chance to win the game. We can't lead the show with James Harden, because I think it's going to be, wow, he was bottled up. He couldn't rise to the occasion. It needs to be Maxey overshadow that by playing great.
We will see what you have to say about this when you rejoin this program tomorrow, Tim Legler. One NFL team's about to take off after their draft performance. Next, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.